Good morning. I told the first service that no, they didn't get the memo, but you guys had the chance to see the video at 9 a.m. that I was here. You're here by your own choice. As Steve mentioned, I've been married to my wife, Kaylee, for 6 years. We have two feral children, boys, Carter, who's one, Jacob, who's three. And as a lot as you older parents know and younger ones that are learning like Kaylee and I, bringing kids into your life, it's a journey of a lot of new experiences. This summer, we decided to put Jacob into swim lessons at the Y. I was not a fan. I was of the belief that if I'm the parent, like, I'm teaching my son how to swim. I didn't give it a lot of thought to the fact that, like, we don't have a pool. None of our family has pools. None of our friends have pools. We don't even go out on boats, so the opportunities to learn to swim aren't really there. But regardless of that, after 8 weeks of once-a-week swim lessons, I still have the opportunity to teach my son how to swim. On the positive side, he did learn how to climb out of the pool. Asked Kaylee and I 2 to 3 times in a 30-minute class to go to the bathroom, and exactly what he had to do to earn a trip to Aunt Joseph's Bakery after the lesson. And I realize now that he wasn't going to learn to swim in the summer, but my biggest challenge, what stuck with me most during the summer, was even on that last week, when he got in the pool with the teacher, or we did have an opportunity where he was in the pool with us, he would not let go. He was too scared, too fearful. There was something that he didn't want to be in the water by himself. And I can feel that tension. We're just thinking back on it now. I can feel that tension in my heart saying, Jacob, just let go. Like, I know it's going to be okay. You're going to like it. And it wasn't until recently that I started to pull those parallels from our experience this summer to what God's telling me in my life as a follower, that I'm holding on to control, I'm holding on to comfort, and not fulfilling my calling as a follower of God. Curveball, I'll be reading from the NLT translation today. Your translation will be fine. The words will be up here on the screen. Psalm 23:4 says, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me." 2 Corinthians chapter 1:3-4 says, "God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others." So why do I feel bad about staying in my comfort zone? Psalms says God comforts us. Even 2 Corinthians says that God is the source of all of our comfort. How can that be bad? And I don't think it's bad, but me holding on to that control, that's holding me back. Notice that in Psalm 23, David is being comforted by God while walking through the darkest valleys in his life journey. David's doing something for God. 2 Corinthians doesn't stop at, he comforts us. No, it goes on to point out that we receive comfort so we can go and comfort others. That's not how my brain operates. I'm the type of person that will do my best to avoid someone I know in the grocery store so we don't have that awkward small talk, but much less go and comfort them. That's tough. But we're not just called to live an uncomfortable life. Truly, we're called to live one that isn't even ours. Matthew 16:24-25, Jesus says, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Honestly, this is one of those passages in the Bible that I've known's there, and I kind of avoid it because it scares me. It really worries me. It puts exactly into words how I'm not deserving of God's grace. Let's read it again, and it starts out good enough. If you're sitting here, I'm sure we're all in agreement. If any one of you wants to follow me, yeah, That's me, Lord. That's us. We're here on Sunday morning. We're glad to praise you today. You must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. Okay, yeah, Lord, I can do good things and do a little hard work for you, you know, be the church. Just as long as it doesn't interfere with my friends at work or kids' sporting events or those friends we go out to dinner with because they're not believers and I don't want to make things awkward, but I'll share some verses on Facebook for you. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. That's a different story. We're called to give up our life for his sake. We have to release control of everything. We need to follow the Great Commission completely. We need to live out the words, and not my will, but yours, and not just say them in a life group or on a Sunday morning. It's not easy. Later, Matthew, we receive the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 19, Jesus says to the disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just told you earlier, I'm not at all comfortable speaking to someone in public. If we have a conversation this morning, I promise you, unless you're my family, there's a small tinge of anxiety in my gut, and I know most of you. But we're not called to stay quiet. I'd much rather be in the comfort of my own home with my immediate family 24/7, 365, but we're called to go make disciples of all nations. That's not going to be done in my house. I know there are things that are tough for us to give control away from. For me, it's my comfort, especially the choice to stay comfortable in my own silence. I struggle with it every day. I miss opportunities to shed God's light on someone, and most of the time I fail. But I'm not up here because I lost a bet. I'm up here speaking in public because just a few months ago, I finally started to fully obey what God's telling me in my life, that it's time to be uncomfortable and speak out, because if not now, when? Maybe your struggle isn't staying in your comfort zone. Maybe you're fearful or anxious. This is a wild world we're living in. We have to give that control over to God. If not now, when? Maybe you're waiting to drop that addiction, you know, until it's a little more convenient. You get through the holidays, maybe get through winter. If not now, when? Maybe there's built up jealousy or anger or unforgiveness that's welled up so much it's turned into bitterness. We have to give it to God. If not now, when? Put your vice, whatever it may be, in the blank space and realize it's holding us back from doing three things. Holding you back from growing personally. Holding back our relationship with Jesus. And holding back the growth of the kingdom as a whole. If we would just let go, a new person could emerge, with a more powerful, a deeper, a more personal relationship with Jesus, and who knows how many people brought to the kingdom. And I'm not going to act like I've got it all figured out. It looks pretty good standing up here, but truly, I'm a broken sinner in this world, but I can change that. And if not now, when? This morning, I invite you, join me in the process of letting go of whatever is holding you back. I would love to do it together. And as I talk about this new self, I want to shift gears here really quick. We're talking about some big life-changing things, you know, big improvements, letting go of what's holding us back, but we do also need to celebrate our past. Celebrate it, not live in it. And here's a couple quick reasons why. Celebrating past, first off, it creates gratitude. Without remembering the past, we can't be thankful for what we've overcome to get where we currently are. We can look at the festivals in the Old Testament, use Passover as an example. You know, these celebrations of the past are where Israel could look back and celebrate and remember what God had done for them. In our Passover example, it's a celebration of how God had protected an entire generation of Israelites from death and ultimately being liberated from slavery. For us now, you know, let's make it easy. Look at Easter. We go to Easter, we reflect back on that tomb being empty. This past week, we celebrated the birth of our Savior and thankful for his sacrifice. So having these celebrations, these look backs into past, help us renew our gratitude for what's happened. Secondly, celebrating the past gives us a new perspective on struggles we had. I love the old saying, hindsight is 20/20. A prime example, personally, this spring, my wife Kaylee really went through some deep, devastating mental health struggles. Mind you, Kaylee, it's good she's not here because she doesn't like hearing this, is the strongest person I know. This may be too much information. With our first child, she gave birth to Jacob before the nurses could even get an IV set in. And trust me, I cannot even imagine doing that. But there we were in February. Kaylee's sitting on a chair, just staring outside crying, pleading to me, pleading to doctors, asking God just to take away the overwhelming anxiety attacks. Neither of us fully understood real mental health struggles up to that point. And now we know that it was a severe mix of PTSD PTSD and postpartum depression, PTSD from nursing through the heat of COVID. But I tell you this, in those 2 weeks where Kaylee did not and could not be left alone, where Kaylee and I were both praying, God, just instantly, take these attacks away. When she was in the thick of her struggles, we could not see how God was working. Healing, or maybe better said, managing and understanding these struggles, it wasn't instant. But through many different ways, things improved and got better. And now with big changes in our lives, we can see God was preparing us. In that month of February, when things were dark, there was growth in our faith. There was a tying together in our marriage and a growth in resources around us that needed to take place before we could take on the next chapter in our lives. Mind you, that new chapter includes purchasing land 4 months ago, rushing to finish my house remodel, selling our house in 3 days, moving in with our in-laws, on Thanksgiving Day with our two crazy boys, and now starting construction on a house in probably the worst month of the year that you could start construction on a house. 8 months ago, we wouldn't be able to handle all these stresses. 6 months ago, we had no plans for them, but God did. And he was preparing us. That perspective of looking back on the past can really help us see the blessings in it all. But we can't be stuck in the past or even in the current situation if we're going to reach our full calling. Listen to Paul, what he wrote in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and moving forward to what lies ahead. Paul realizes we can't be comfortable where we are or looking back on the good things in our past. He sets the example. Even the great apostle, the great orator, the author of so many books of the Bible was not satisfied with his body of work because his calling and our calling was not complete. Another more powerful instruction on what to do with the past comes from God through Isaiah, in Isaiah 43, 18 through 19. But forget all that, it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a path in the wilderness, I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. And that's a very powerful message. It can be used in so many ways, but without getting too introspective again right now, we can all put this passage into practice as a church in this building. We've come to a point now where it's pretty obvious things aren't going to be the same this time next year. This time next year, I'll be standing where the middle school or high school kids will be having their worship time. You all will be sitting in what is our fellowship room, where we won't have to do the electric slide around people anymore just to get a donut or a cup of coffee. No matter how exciting the project is, I can promise you that looks won't be the only thing that change around here. But just for a minute, let's reflect on the past. Let's celebrate some things in here. For many of you, those double doors outside were the first time you were greeted like friends or family in a church you'd never been to before. Others, you stood right here and said, "I do," to the love of your life. You were baptized in the water behind me. You met lifelong friends in the cafe or the fellowship hall downstairs. You learned about Jesus in a new way in a life group in the fireside room. Or your kids got excited about Jesus in Kids Point. Your teens, for the first time, asked to go to a church event on their own and came here. Or simply, you felt at home sitting in that wooden pew with red cloth. For me, that's it. There's one memory left where I can still hear my grandfather's voice. I was sitting in that pew, the second seat. It was the first time I was ever asked to serve communion, and I can still see my grandpa Terry staring at the screen, belting out, "How great thou art." Music was a little different then. I can't tell you how much I value this building, how much those memories we've made in here mean to me. But we can't stay in the past. Again, let's read Isaiah 43. "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a path through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." God is doing something here. It's quite literally started outside. And I just want... Let's make sure we don't just see it with our eyes, that we feel it and make changes with it in our heart. I want to celebrate this place. I will, but I don't want to be in a place that is more worried about a reminiscent feeling of comfort than letting go of that past and fulfilling our calling. Let's fill that sanctuary by the time it's built. On a personal level, we're called to do the same thing. In this aspect, I think it's somewhat empowering to forget the past, at least for me, you know, forget the bad things. I could start a list and then give it to Kaylee, and she'll keep adding and adding and just for me. But we can do that. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness." Repent. Forgiven. Forgotten, it's easier said than done. But if you take anything away from this message today, I hope it's this. Your identity is not your vice. Your sin does not define you in Christ, because you are a child of God. You were called for that to be your identity. But in order to get to that point, we need to remember this cool little saying I stole from the Unashamed podcast. You have to love Jesus more than you love the sin, more than you love your vice. You have to love Jesus more than that addiction. You have to love Jesus more than that control you hold in your life. You have to love Jesus more, and then more will be given. And don't be discouraged. We are imperfect. More than likely, we won't succeed in our first attempt at making a life change. And I'm not going to lie to you, we're going to fail and falter many times in that process. But a past football coach I had, you guys might be familiar with, gave our team some pretty good advice on this subject. And it was just, you had to have a short memory. If we made a mistake on the field, we had to move on, forget it, and get to the next play and do right there. In this case, do the next right thing. For example, you miss a life group session, you know, something comes up, it's really easy to just miss that second one or that third one. but do the next right thing and get back in there. Sin, this time repent, ask for forgiveness and accept the forgiveness. Forget it and do the next right thing, which is to obey our calling. It's not easy or comfortable, but it's our mission. We aren't alone either. Leadership made Moses uncomfortable to the point to where he argued with God on why he shouldn't lead. And finally, flat out said to him in Exodus 4:13, but Moses pleaded again, Lord, please send anyone else. Jonah initially was uncomfortable with God's call for his life. Pretty certain Daniel wasn't comfortable in the lion's den. And Paul, writing letters to the early church while imprisoned, doesn't sound like a week in Cancun to me. But they still answered the call, and we can too. Even more encouraging, Jesus chose sinners and outcasts to lead the early church. He could have chose the political and religious elite, but he chose people like you and I to carry the torch. And their lives on earth weren't very comfortable. In 2 Timothy, Paul encourages Timothy, God has not given us a us power, love, and self-discipline. Loving and sacrificing, then giving up your own discomfort and inviting someone to have a relationship with Jesus where they can overcome pain and evil in their lives. Could you imagine just giving up that one vice, how small it ever may be, and that one person who relies on you coming to have a relationship with Jesus? Where they otherwise didn't stand a chance. We have to give that up. I want to encourage you, in Christ, you have more to offer this world than you can imagine. I know it's a strong statement, but let me remind you of a story with a different perspective. John 6, we read the story of how Jesus miraculously feeds the 5,000, and really probably a lot more than 5,000. And to cut to the chase, starting in verse 8, we read, then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. In verse 12 and 13, we see that there was more than enough for the crowd. Now let me ask you, in this story, are you Andrew or are you the boy? Are you Andrew saying, look, this is all I have to offer. I can't make a difference in my own life, much less the world around me. Or are you the boy? Are you saying to the Lord, Lord, here's all I have. It doesn't seem like much. But I know that with you and through you, it will be. Said again, with you, what I have to offer can change me. Through you, I can lead my family in a relationship with you. And with the abundance that you make out of my inadequacy, a world can bow down before you. I know which one I am most of the time. But today, I'm going to celebrate the past and the present that got me here. I'm going to move forward, and the old me was an Andrew, the new me will be the boy. Add that vice into this saying today. The old me holds on to comfort, but the new me reaches out to those in my life for God's glory. The old me relies on an addiction to substance or imagery, but the new me will rely on the Lord. The old me has been led by fear, but the new me will be led by the lion. The old me was consumed about self, but the new me will pick up my cross and be overwhelmed by him. I have a challenge for you. This morning, listen to that quiet voice in your head, that tension in your gut, that pull on your heart. It tells us a lot of times what the right thing is to do. We don't always listen to it. Maybe, like me, we rarely listen to it. So today I want to celebrate that person, because good or bad, whether you're proud of those decisions to listen or not, it got you here today. Today we embrace the new person that acts on what that voice is telling us. I invite you, if that voice is telling you to be saved or surrender to Jesus, don't wait. If not now, when? I'll be really selfish. One of our deacon goals this year was to be a baptizer. In January, when we came up with that goal, I had no clue how I would be in a position to disciple someone, to baptize someone, much less talk about the gospel to someone. I'm not the same person I was in January. And this morning, I'm fired up about you being fired up for accepting Jesus. And I ask that if you're ready to commit to him in your life, let's do it today. If not now, when? We can celebrate the old, embrace the new. Whatever is holding control on you, let's let go of that together. As I close, I want to reflect on where we started. With my son who may not have a future on the Olympic swim team. I want to replay the words I had for him churning in my heart while I watched him latch onto that instructor with tears in his eyes. Jacob, buddy, just let go. I know you're scared, but trust me, it will be okay. Reach out and swim. I'm right here. I won't let go of you. You know what to do. You'll be good at this. It will be fun. I know you can do it yourself. You have to trust me. And they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and I believe that in this instance. I can see, and I'm certain, that this is what my Heavenly Father is telling me and hopefully telling you. Caleb, just let go. You're nervous and uncomfortable. I know you are, but trust me, it will be okay. Bring those around you to me. You know what to do. I'll be right here. You have to trust me. There's so much more to this. You just have to let go. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time together. Father, I thank you for the mercy, for the grace, and for the love you pour out to us. We know we aren't worthy of your grace in our lives, and I thank you for the fact that if we follow your Son, we are made new and pure in your eyes. Lord God, I thank you for your Son. I praise you knowing you sent him here fully human, fully in flesh, tempted the same way as we were, yet he stayed perfect. Father, I know that his blood covers my inadequacies in this life. And today I pray that if we haven't fully surrendered to you, that we don't wait any longer and that we receive the gift of our debt being paid in full. Today, Lord, I pray we leave this building made new, ready for to leave the past behind and give the good news to others around us. This is the past, and let's leave it in the past. Every second in our future is for you. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.